You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek with WacoBusinessNews.com, and my guest today is one of the luminaries of Waco's art scene, Fiona Bond. Fiona, who hails from Kent, England, has worked in the arts and cultural sectors for over two decades and currently serves as the executive director of Creative Waco. But before we learn about her heritage and hopes, it's time for the word on the street. A new offering popped up in downtown over Memorial Day weekend. The Warehouse Bar and Chill has taken over the space formerly occupied by Muddle at 727 Austin Avenue, across the street from the Hippodrome. Cassie Smith wrote an article about downtown's latest addition last week in the Trib and spoke with the manager, who described the spot as a mix of George's and the backyard, so you know it'll fit right into that Waco comfort zone. There are lots of TVs, a big happy hour menu, and a food truck in the back from Captain Billy Whizbang's Burgers. One of the partners in the warehouse is W. Leslie Long, who opened Austin's on the Avenue back in 2008.
On Friday, we opened up at happy hour for full business, open to the public, and had a good crowd in early, and the crowd stayed well into the evening and into the night. It was really steady throughout the entire day. I was really happy to see everyone out, and we had a good time and felt like everybody enjoyed themselves, and people were coming in asking, you know, questions here and there about some of the stuff that we've done and just commenting on some of the changes that had been made. But overall, it went really well.
Long and his team have taken an underperforming asset that ran into trouble a number of times in hopes that with the right management and program, they can recreate an inviting and fun nightlife scene. The warehouse is open 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. Wednesday through Saturday, and as a downtown resident myself, I'm ecstatic to see even more entertainment options in the core of the city. The warehouse will host local musicians on their indoor stage, but if you want to see some of the best in the country music business outdoors, be sure to trek down to Indian Springs Park on Sunday for Bowen Music Fest. This is the 19th festival put on by Texas country star Wade Bowen, a Waco native, and the list of friends he brings along for the ride gets better every year. By the suspension bridge on Sunday, you'll be able to see legends like the Charlie Daniels Band, Randy Rogers, Stoney LaRue, Shiny Ribs, and of course, Bowen himself. Music starts at 2 p.m., and tickets can be purchased at the gate for $30. Proceeds go to the Bowen Family Foundation, which uses the funds to heal children and families in and around Waco. This event has raised over $2 million since 2006, including over $400,000 last year alone. Find more information at bowenfamilyfoundation.org. Fiona Bond is one of the most eloquent, elegant individuals I've met in Waco, though perhaps some of that has to do with the British accent. We hung out for a while in the KWBU studios earlier this week. I am so thrilled to have you on. Been hearing a lot about you since I moved to Waco, and now we're finally getting to connect. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Austin. I can't believe this is the first time we've met, because it seems like we know a lot of people. But that's what we say about Waco, right? Half a degree of separation.
Exactly. Well, I love starting the conversation out by hearing about the things that brought you to Waco. There's always sort of a chain of events that made us end up in this small central Texas town. What is yours?
Well, there's a long version and a short version, so I'm going to tell you the short version.
All right.
We basically, my husband was being sought after by Baylor for quite a while. And honestly, Waco had never been on our top 10 list of cities that we'd always wanted to live. But Baylor made the very smart move of bringing us both out to Waco and really giving us a chance to see the city and really to fall in love with it. And that's what we did. When Baylor flew us both out to look at the job opportunities, both for him and for me. And honestly, I have to say, we were blown away by the people that we met and also by the possibilities that we saw in this place.
What were you expecting when you arrived in Waco?
That's a really good question. I think probably my perceptions have been so altered by reality now that it's really hard for me to remember what I thought I would find here. But when I thought Central Texas, I think I thought sleepy backwater, not much culture, somewhere that was very arid and flat and dry. and completely different to all the medieval cities that we'd lived in. At that point, I had lived in five different countries. And my husband grew up in Canada and had then lived in the UK, had also spent time in Africa. So we were both used to a pretty wide range of landscapes and cultures. Central Texas was not somewhere that we thought would really grab our hearts.
And at the time that your husband was being recruited by Baylor, you guys were living in England?
We were in Scotland, actually. We were in St. Andrews in Scotland. I had been working for the city of Dundee in Scotland, and that's partly why I think I was so open to living in Waco. St. Andrews, of course, is a very beautiful medieval city and a university town. Dundee is also a university town, but at the time I started working there, it was affectionately known as the cultural armpit of Scotland. And I was part of a process which invested time and energy and money into revitalizing that city through cultural infrastructure. And actually now Dundee is known as the UK City of Design. It is about to become European City of Culture. It's undergone a complete revolution, which took about a decade to happen and was incredibly exciting to be part of.
Your history starting off, one of the first professional things you did was working in literature festivals, the Durham Literature Festival.
Yes, you've done your research.
just a little bit. And then sort of parlayed that into working for the museum at Cambridge, and then eventually your work with the program Theology Through the Arts at Cambridge.
Yes.
I think that that's such an interesting topic to dive into a little bit, especially given being here in the religious part of the States where we are. But the intersection between art and the church and how, I mean, traditionally the church was the culture. I mean, the church was the center of art. And we've seen much more of a divergence in that in the past few centuries. But talk a little about what you were doing with Theology Through the Arts and the way that art and religion do intersect in 2017.
Oh, what a huge topic. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the church was a patron to the arts, certainly in the Western arts tradition. The church was one of the most major patrons that has yielded us all this incredible art that we see throughout Europe and throughout North America too. I actually even wrote a book about it called The Arts in Your Church, which was one of the takeaways from the project that I did at Cambridge. I've always been interested in the role that the arts have to play as we are created, embodied beings in the image of a creator God. It's the very first thing that we learn in the Bible about us and our nature as human beings. I remember actually a lecture when I was about 11 or 12 years old from Richard Leakey, who is not religious at all, a very famous anthropologist. And he was one of the discoverer of many of the ancient bones and pre-human skeletons in Africa. And I remember him saying, and this had a really profound effect on me as an 11 or 12-year-old, that one of the ways that we know we are dealing with human beings when we're looking at excavations is because you always see evidence of two things. One is art and one is religion. They are absolutely fundamental to identifying human beings. And it was, I found that very profound coming from somebody who really was not religious at all, that he acknowledged that it was absolutely part of who we are. Now, of course, as a person of faith, I would say that it's more profound than Richard Leakey even realized. And there's something very profound about our relationship with creativity that is fundamental to making us both whole human beings as individuals, but also a whole community as well.
Does everyone have creativity inside of them, and we each have varying layers of crust that sort of prevents us from accessing that?
I really think that we do, but I don't think it always works itself out as art. What we call the arts, and by that I have a very broad definition, not just visual art, but dance, drama, film, you know, all the ways that we have creative expression. But we can have creative expression in so many more ways than the traditional arts as well. And I think that's often where entrepreneurship and the arts and creative sector intersect? Because I think you have to be a fundamentally creative person to figure out how to make money in new ways, for example. Usually business success comes from some kind of creative or different approach to solving an old problem. I'm in the middle of doing an MBA degree right now, and that's one of the things that we learn is that creativity is really fundamental to business success. That's not accidental. If you can figure out how to solve something differently, then of course you're going to be more successful than people who aren't able to figure that out. But I think it goes deeper than that too, because I think we find real joy from problem solving as human beings too.
I moved to Waco in January of 2015, planning on attending Baylor Law. I'd been accepted, and Pokios ended up taking off in a way that neither Julia nor I expected, and realized that that's a lot more fun than, you know, being in the schoolroom for 3 years. But I feel like oftentimes the JD or the MBA is something that someone in their 20s, when they've sort of run out of steam with their profession, they decide to go back to school and get a little bit more seasoning. It's got to be a pretty different experience for you coming into it later in life, because you already have a job and you have such a direct focus of the things that you're learning in the program and how that applies to what you're doing with Creative Waco. What have been some of the takeaways from the MBA program thus far?
I've actually really enjoyed going back to school. As someone old enough to appreciate the value of that education, I'm a much better student second time round, because I think I realize just how transformational what I'm learning can be. And also we have fantastic professors in that program. There's also something really nice, having been in the work world, where often it takes a really long time to get feedback for what you're doing, to have instant feedback and to actually have papers graded. There's something very rewarding about that. Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm just a a bit of a what we would call a spod in the UK, I guess a geek here, that I love that side of things. But I think it's also really helped me to understand business culture in this country. The culture of North America, maybe the culture of the southern states, is very different to where I come from, and it's very different to the nonprofit world. But I do think there is an awful lot of overlap, and maybe more than people realize, between the nonprofit world, the for-profit world, and what I call the social entrepreneurship world, which sometimes lies in a hybrid between the two. And one of the things that the MBA is helping me to do is to realize which of the areas to me are important from each of those realms. Whether you're running a nonprofit organization or a social entrepreneurship organization, it's still important to be able to generate revenue. Otherwise, you can't be sustainable. No matter what kind of sector you're in, you have to be able to make a living and feed your family, but you also have to find ways of making things that are important sustainable. And so there are all kinds of takeaways from the MBA program, which I'm finding really applicable.
The work that you're doing with Creative Waco, I would imagine, is really stretching the bounds of your creativity, because partially it is nonprofit, part of it you do have to run like a business, part of it's marketing and making sure people know about events that we're putting on. What are some of the things that you've been able to accomplish with Creative Waco that you look back on fondly and with a lot of pride?
Well, thus far, we're only just 2 years old as an organization, so there's not a huge amount.
But it seems like with only being 2 years old, I'm hearing we've gotten a cultural designation as an arts district, and the 52 Project. It seems like you guys have done a lot in very little time.
Thanks. Well, those are actually two things that we're very proud of. So, of course, you know, our first year, we really focused on bringing together all the partners in our community that were needed in order for us to gain that cultural district designation. And the reason we did that was partly because the very process of bringing people together gives us a much stronger platform from which then to develop as a cultural hub. And so the fact that Waco was not only designated a cultural district at state level, but that it was actually the top performing cultural district in the whole state in terms of the application was really a great source of accomplishment to us as a community. I really like to think that Waco should never feel like it just scrapes in, that it just makes it, that it's it's already a community that offers so much culturally, that really punches above its weight. And I think that was just a fantastic endorsement at state level that that's true, and that Texas Commission on the Arts see Waco as being a really strong emerging cultural hub. Waco 52 is a project that we just undertook. And it sounded so easy when we talked about bringing together 52 artists to display their work at the state capitol. 52 tripped off the tongue. It's a lot of people to organize, and it's a lot of artwork to organize. In a nutshell, what we did was we put out a call for artwork. We got more than 150 submissions of artwork to participate in this juried exhibition that was going to be in the state, in the capitol. Rotunda, the lower rotunda of the state capitol. And that was by invitation of Doc Anderson and Kyle Cassell, our two state representatives. And that partly came out of the cultural district process, because they really wanted to invite us to make our mark as a cultural district in a way that the whole state would be able to see. And not only did we manage to pull together a really, really high quality art exhibition, which incidentally is coming back to Waco. So people here in Waco will get a chance to see that. It's going to happen in July and August of 2017.
Will this be at the Art Center?
It will actually be downtown. Fabulous. So yes, it'll be downtown. And we're about to announce how that's going to happen. But alongside that, of course, the reason it's 52 artists is because we've turned it into a deck of playing cards. And that deck of playing cards is being sold to support new arts initiatives in Waco. So, you know, when we're talking about revenue generation, this is really fantastic, because it's each of those pieces of art represents something about the spirit of Waco and McLennan County. They are fabulous. People who look through that deck of cards are instantly smitten, because they're blown away by the quality of art, by the range of subject matter, but also by the range of artists that are represented. They represent every part of our community, every age group, professional artists and non-professionals. We actually had two international judges who selected the work. And so you can, and they were blown away by the quality too. So you can really see the range of really fantastic artists that we have living and working in our community.
Well, this is Fiona Bond, executive director, of Creative Waco. I'm Austin Meek. You're listening to Downtown Depot here on KWBU. When I moved to Waco, Fiona, I was struck by how many people sort of talk down on their city. You know, Wacoans who, you know, perhaps they had heard one too many times about David Koresh, or Waco is just a pit stop in between Dallas and Austin. And I've been really grateful to come in as someone without any history of Waco. And then I moved here in 2015, and I see a city of ton of opportunity, and it's a sportsman's paradise, and it's conveniently located, and it's inexpensive. And I'm sure that in seeing these 52 artists that emerged as part of the program, and over 150 that submitted, I'm sure there was a little bit of surprise. Just, I had no idea that this many talented people were even in the area.
And that's just in the visual arts. I know exactly what you mean when you talk about almost a lack of confidence in Waco. I call it the checkout conversation. Whenever I go to the supermarket, it's fairly obvious to people that I probably wasn't raised in Waco. I don't know how they can tell. But a conversation about what I'm doing here always ensues. And behind that is always kind of an unwritten script of, what is someone like you doing in Waco?
Right.
And I feel like I kind of have to defend Waco. And I'm proud to do that, because I've lived in a lot of different places. I really feel that certainly the kind of things that I'm interested in, a beautiful landscape that I can cycle in or run in, access to all kinds of amenities, but also access to the arts and culture, is easier and cheaper here than any other place I've lived. It's got fabulous people. There is nothing not to like. It's definitely a city that's growing and emerging. But that shouldn't make us think less of it because it's on its way up, as opposed to, you know, a work in progress is always more interesting than the finished product.
Agreed. And that's one thing that Megan Henderson, the executive director of City Center Waco, always harps on, is the fact that, yes, there's a dearth of six-figure jobs for students coming right out of Baylor, but there's also the opportunity to start things here and the opportunity to really make your mark and be a part of the growth that if you lived in Austin or Dallas or another city, it would just be so much more difficult to get involved in that scene.
You'd just be another cog in the wheel, whereas here you can actually make the wheel.
So for a Philistine like me, whose stick figures have made children cry in the past, how does someone like me get involved with Creative Waco? How can somebody like me help what you're doing? Because I recognize the importance of having a cultural arts district and an area that's thriving and we can have more literature and musicians and people be a part of that. But what's the best way for the everyday person in Waco to know the mission and to grow it?
The first thing I always say to that question is get involved by doing cool, fun stuff. Look to Waco first, you know, with your leisure time, with your money. buy local, participate locally. So if things are going on in Waco, make sure that you know about them. We have some great ways for people to find out what's going on in our community. I don't know if people know that there is now an app that you can download all about what's going on in Waco. It was created by the CVB. It's incredibly easy to download. You just type Waco and look for the little symbol with a heart with a W in the middle. And that app is literally a one button press to find out what's going on tonight, what's going on this weekend. Of course, there's ACT Locally Waco and all the phenomenal work that Ashley is doing on that. We also have the downtown website, which the downtown Waco, Texas website, which allows us to kind of dip into more blog type content about what's going on in our downtown area. So there is no excuse. There are so many ways. And if people are confused about where they should get information, our website, which is creativewaco.org, has a whole page that just lists the different ways you can find out what's going on in our community. So I strongly encourage people to do that. We have things like blog posts about where you can buy locally made art in Waco. Different music things to plug into. We have a brand new film festival. We have all kinds of things that just go on here. And certainly there is a lot of fun to be had, but a lot of benefit for our community when people who live and work in Waco and McLennan County plug into what's going on here. So that's always number one. We also have a number of other ways that people can plug in. So if they want to be a volunteer, if they want to become part of a conversation about what we need to grow culturally to be a better cultural hub, they can participate in those things too. And our website has links to all those different ways of engaging. So if you're keen to get involved, I'd say check out our website, find out what we're already doing, find out about our Arts Alliance, about our artists networking groups, and what we have available in our community and get plugged in.
Well, even if you don't want to spend your time volunteering, the more mercenary of our listeners might be interested in knowing that one of the hats that you wear is raising funds and getting grants. And Creative Waco has $120,000 to put forth for events and for performances in the area. Where are you guys in the distribution of those funds, and are there plans for events that are going to be coming up?
Yes, actually, we're just coming up for round three of the distribution. Well, round two, in fact, but we had a pilot round, so kind of round three of the distribution of those funds. And that's something I'm incredibly encouraged by, because it's become a fantastic mechanism for encouraging leadership and emerging leadership for new arts initiatives in our community. So it's called the AMP Fund. And again, you can find out about it on our website. AMP stands for the Arts Match Program. And the purpose of AMP is to support new and emerging arts initiatives which are going to have high impact in our community.
How do you determine what's a high impact event?
Well, the application form itself teases out some of that. Basically, it has to be something that is going to make a difference to the cultural plan that was developed as part of the application to become a cultural district. And I won't talk too much about the cultural plan because people can find it online. But basically, the cultural plan kind of combines all of the cultural aspirations that our community had for 10 years worth of civic planning, but that didn't actually have a vehicle for for making those things happen. So Creative Waco kind of pulled all those things together and said let's create a plan of action to actually make these things happen in our community, all the things we've said we wanted for the last 10 years. So that's really what we're about, and people can see that online. So anything that makes a difference to the cultural plan, anything that is new or innovative or high impact in our community, those are the kinds of things that can be supported through the AMP Fund. And the idea is that it becomes a catalyst for people who are seeking resources. Because in the arts world, when you can show that your local community thinks that what you're doing is strategic and important, then there are many other funding sources out there that are willing to support, particularly new arts initiatives. So that's the way that we're hoping to shepherd new leadership in the arts, and also for people just to be able to get some funding behind great ideas that are going to make a difference in our community. The other thing that we really love about that particular program is that we have some funding from the Cooper and Waco Foundations, which allows us to partner emerging arts leaders with people who are real experts in their artistic disciplines from outside Waco. So, for example, we had a dance program come through the AMP the last round of AMP funding. And so we're able to partner that dance organization with the director of Ballet Austin, who happens to be one of the best fundraisers in the whole of the US when it comes to dance. So that way we can actually pull people in our community who are interested in becoming leaders in their own arts discipline, pull them into a kind of much larger world of influence and impact in the arts.
I love the fact that Creative Waco is so determined to bring in arts from different sectors, literature, dance, music, visual arts, because that'll strike one person and it won't strike another. I can look at a painting and it means something different to me than it would to you. So I really love the vision of what you're spearheading there at Creative Waco, and recognizing that this is a really diverse city. It's diverse culturally, and we have a lot of different needs and people who want to see variety. And that's been one of my favorite things about the Creative Waco project thus far, is just how willing you guys are to cater to the fact that we're in Waco and there are so many diverse perspectives. So really excited about the work that you guys are doing. It is important. And even if you aren't an arts person, having a creative cultural hub bleeds over into education, and it bleeds into commerce, and it bleeds into so many different areas. So Fiona Bond, Executive Director of Creative Waco, thank you so much for joining us on Downtown Depot.
Thank you so much, Austin. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks again to Fiona for her time, and be sure to visit creativewaco.org to learn about how you can help make Waco a place that incentivizes and embraces the arts. If you just can't wait until the next episode of Downtown Depot on June 16th, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, at Waco Business News, to stay up to date on what's happening in your city in between shows. I'm Austin Meek with WacoBusinessNews.com, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.